In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. This suffices to continue, at least for our purposes, in considering what it looks like when you have no faith. Last week we contemplated what that looks like with regards to the comparison of Jairus with the members of the mourning crowd and the servant and the darkness that ensues those who have no faith, and how the ones who had faith got to witness the great miracle. And so in a sense we have a continuation of that in this presentation from the Gospel of Mark with regards to the people of Nazareth. And this one might and should hit home more, because most Catholics are like the people of Nazareth, and that is not a compliment at all. For you see, the people of Nazareth, since they either knew Christ when he was a child and they were adults, or they were children that grew up with the Christ, they thought they knew Christ. They thought they had mastered Christ. They thought that they could make him what they needed him to be. And so many Catholics, even if they are mass goers on a regular basis, live the same kind of faithless life of the people of Nazareth. How you can tell is, first and foremost, their main pursuit is always the things of the world. Material possessions, business deals. And even if they do so-called ministry, there's always some dynamic of the numbers game rather than actual substantial relationship to bring about conversion. There's some dynamic where it is business-minded. And that's one of the great flaws of the human side of the church in modern times. It's too obsessed with money. It's too obsessed with numbers. It's worldly. Remember, the church is indefectible and without error in her divine nature. But just like her master, from whose side she was born, the church has two natures, one human, one divine. And it's in the human sense that we have all the problems. And so the people of Nazareth had no faith because they thought they knew Christ. Oftentimes, Catholics can be that way, especially cradle Catholics. In my 24 years as a priest, it is rare to see cradle Catholics who are profoundly enthused about their faith. It really is. Whereas you can experience it in converts. Now, it's not that every cradle Catholic loses their faith, but most do. And again, you can tell by the way they live their lives. They're worldly. They're not living towards God, but they're living towards the world. And this is dangerous in particular, as this gospel teaches us. Because remember, those who have no faith are always dark and cynical in some way, shape, or form, which is why they try to pursue the accruing of money and security, because then they think they can control their life and control their destiny. But as our Lord proves to the man who is wealthy and he builds a larger barn for all his possessions, because now he can sit back and relax because he has everything he needs, and he dies that very night. In our Lord's parable, he calls him a fool because he had amassed all that stuff, and where does it go now? Certainly not to him as he had planned. And therefore, when you lose your faith, you want to control your own destiny because you don't have the conviction that Christ has the power to help or even cares. And that's because usually if you think you know Christ, then you've already created a false idol of Christ that usually is like you. He usually has the same politics you have. He usually has the same attitude with regards to sin that you do. You know, he's extra mean to the sinners you don't like, but he's extra merciful to the sinners that you like. Typically, for older Catholics, your adult children who have long abandoned the faith. Your Jesus is like you. He doesn't seem to mind so much that that happens. Or they'll end up going to heaven anyway, so it doesn't matter. They roll the dice on all these false notions because they're worshiping a false god, because they've lost their faith. The other side of the coin of their darkness can be seen in the attitude of the Nazarenes here. You know, when you put this gospel, which is short from Mark, together with Luke and with Matthew, you see the whole dynamic played out. They're mad because Jesus came from Nazareth, and therefore he should be working greater miracles for them than he worked in Capernaum and the surrounding towns in Galilee. They felt entitled to him because he is one of them. How many Catholics have that same attitude towards the Blessed Sacrament? They're entitled to it. They never do any proper preparation or reflection on the great mystery of what they're receiving. And because of that dark view that Christ is merely a butler, a wonder worker, a showman, then they get angry with him. And Matthew tells us they try to kill him. Remember, they take him up to the precipice, ready to throw him off, because he called them out for their faithlessness, and he uses his power to pass through the crowd. Not walking through the crowd and pushing his way through, but literally just passing through the crowd. And that's why this gospel and the longer stories are important for you to consider. Because what this gospel teaches, we know that when you're faithless, your view of the world is dark, and therefore you try to control your own destiny, so you love money, you love business deals, you love anything that can assist you in advancing your cause because you think you're doing it for God, but in reality you're doing it for yourself, because if you have no faith, you've typically created a false Christ who again agrees with you and has the same attitude you do and wants you to not be so concerned about him, even though the true Christ says, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. He didn't say some of, or a little bit here and there. All. And so when you're faithless, your Christ doesn't challenge. And here's the problem by what Jesus teaches by his example. Because they doubt him. And remember, when people are faithless, they're the first to shake their fists at God when something goes wrong. They're the first to be mad at him because their conviction is he's supposed to give us all that we need so that we live life like houseplants with nothing bothering us. And that is not the case because the devil is the prince of the world. And again, those people working for money are always in the end working for the devil, even if they think they're doing it for Christ, if they're putting that work first, if they're making that more important than God. And so God gives us grace because the world is tough, because the enemy is in it, and because the enemy propagates evil everywhere. The grace is not because we're supposed to be called to an easy life like a houseplant. The grace is because there has to be a tension between our life in the world and our life for God. There must be a tension. If there is no tension, you are serving Satan. I guarantee it. And remember, he's hiding behind something. So you think you're serving God, but you're serving Satan. You think you're serving God, but you're serving money. You think you're serving God, but you're serving your own pride. There must always be a tension in your life, especially you as a laity, if you're living for Christ, because the world is constantly calling you to abandon Christ. That's why our Lord warned you cannot serve both God and mammon. You cannot serve two masters. With that being said, then, here's the problem. Because we see by virtue of what Jesus does here, he cannot, because he will not, work any miracles in Nazareth. It's not that his power is limited. And those who have no faith believe they somehow empower Christ by virtue of them being at Mass and them putting money in the collection. So they did this for Christ, so Christ needs to do something for them. So this false notion. But the reality is Christ knows that any miracles he works will only serve the pride of the people of Nazareth who want him to be a showman to make them look good. Some people want the Catholic faith because they think it makes them look good. Those days are long passing, but maybe in the Christian or even in a Catholic world, in some of these rich parishes where there's lots of money changing hands and deals being made, that might work. Or even in the false notions of Christianity that you have at Southeast Christian, where it's famous for its business deals and money. That's probably the case, that it's all about prestige. This is what the Nazarenes wanted. They wanted prestige, and Christ wouldn't work a miracle because he does not service our pride. He will not service our pride because it will destroy us. Instead, he works no miracles except for the few people that he laid hands on to heal them from their illnesses because they probably had faith. So that's the dangerous lesson. If you choose to worship your own Christ, and all you have to do if you're serving Christ, you're always challenged. There's always a tension. If you're not serving Christ, Christ is always ratifying, agreeing with you, and patting you on the back. That's a false Christ. The true Christ challenges. And because if you love him, then there's always a tension. Yes, I know I need to work, but this is a holy day of obligation. So you find the resolution. You go to the Mass, even if you have to work. Or even the simple gesture, or the simple reality of what you did today, how easily you could have been attached to your pillow and then chosen a later Mass to go to. So many Catholics do that now. I think it's horrific. For those who are on different ships, I understand it, but most Catholics don't want to get up early, so they go to Mass late. Jesus at your convenience, that's a false Christ. Jesus rewards the people for going out into the desert to see him and spending 3 days out in the desert with no food. That's why he feeds him. He never sends food back to the people who stayed in the city, the worldlings. So the key to remember is Jesus will cut off the grace and he will abandon you in your state if you don't respond to him. Not because he's so mean, but because you are so mean as to serve the world over him. And therefore, your free will God respects. Remember the first chapter of Romans. The wrath of God is not lightning and thunder and earthquakes. The wrath of God is that he withdraws grace. He gives you every chance to convert, every chance to turn to him, and you keep saying no. So finally he withdraws the grace. And without his grace, it is hopeless. It is hopeless. Without me, you can do nothing, Jesus said in the Gospel of John. Without his grace, none of us will get to heaven. When he cuts that off, you know you are in trouble. So consider, this is what he did with the people of Nazareth. His own kin, his own distant relatives, he cut them off. He wouldn't work any graces. He wouldn't give them any miracles because they were too prideful. They weren't interested. Our Lord loves us, and love is liberating and freeing. Therefore, love mandates free will. If you choose hell, he will give it to you out of love. Don't gamble on that false notion that God is a God of love, so he has to take me into heaven. That's not love, that's slavery. God is perfect. He's all love, all truth, all beauty, all goodness, all powerful, all knowing. Therefore, his love is perfect. You choose hell, he'll give it to you because he loves you. Not because he hates you, because you wanted him, because you put everything ahead of him, and therefore he's not going to make you spend eternity with him when you didn't want to. You didn't want to have him in this limited life, so therefore he's not going to make you spend eternity with him when you avoided him your whole life. So take stock in your life and ask yourself, are you truly, truly, truly worshiping Christ, or is it some false Christ you've invented? Is your Catholic faith challenging you? Because if it is, you're living it. If it's not, then you're not living the Catholic faith. Are you living a life that is towards God, or are you living a life that is towards the world? Ask yourself these questions before it's too late, because God knows your heart better than you do. And if you're at the point where he's given you tens of thousands of chances to convert, to come back to him, but you won't, he's going to stop doing it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.